her philosophy, which has a name, she didn't use the name, but the name of the philosophy that she taught or embodied, it's the most supreme philosophy on the planet. It's the most difficult on the planet. It's called Advaita, A-D-V-A-I-T-A, Vedanta, V-E-D-A-N-T-A. And the basic premise of it, which the hippies like, and the pseudo-enlightened and Ojai like, the basic premise of it is only God exists. Only God exists. She didn't use the word God that much. She used the word that, all caps. Only that exists. Everything is that. She said these teachers, who would have you believe that this whole world is one thing and that reality is somewhere else, or that this whole world is unreal in reality somewhere else, the real world somewhere else, she said, these people are misleading you. She says, this is reality. This is divine reality. There's nothing excluded. Everything's included. People would say, well, you know, what about sin? What about all the negative stuff? It's all part of God. It's all inclusive. No, it's called non-dual. Advaita, non-dualistic philosophy. Dualism, two things. She said there aren't two things. There's only one thing. And it's manifested as a universe. That's her philosophy. There's only one thing. There's only one person. You know, what about all this multiplicity? It's all expression of one thing. Yeah, so she doesn't believe in. She didn't believe that there's us here, and supreme reality somewhere else. That we have to struggle to find. There's a Zen story some of you are familiar with that she actually told. This one Zen master, who had become enlightened, said to his students, "Before I started seeking enlightenment, rivers were rivers and trees were trees. And during my long years and years of search for enlightenment, rivers were no longer rivers and trees were no longer trees. And after I finally achieved enlightenment, rivers are once again rivers and trees are once again trees." And she's on the rivers are rivers and trees are trees. There's nowhere else to go. She said, well, shouldn't I be adopting some practice? Some spiritual practice. I have all these imperfections. Shouldn't I be adopting some spiritual practice? And she would say, she called it Shakti, S-H-A-K-T-I. That's like the power of God, or the power of that. You call it energy, if you like. But it's universal. It's what causes everything to happen. So shouldn't I adopt some practice? I'm full of these negative things and sin, and I'm unenlightened, and shouldn't I adopt some practice? And she says things like, if Sakti wants you to practice, you will practice. And if Sakti doesn't want you to practice, you won't practice. And because in the end, Sakti, that's what she called the moving power of God, Sakti does everything. So she denied the existence of a doer, of separate doers. Like there's me and I'm doing this, and there's you and you're doing that. She said there's Sakti, and Sakti's doing everything. So one of the illusions to be overcome is the illusion that I'm doing something, she says. You're not doing a thing. Sakti's doing it through you. So, should I meditate? Her basic answer is, you'll find out. If you do, you will. If you don't, you won't. It's not in your hands. We all know people who have like really good intentions, but it never really happens. Sakti. Yeah. She's not saying people aren't responsible, but she's denying any duality between heaven and earth, between you and me, between you and me and God. Yeah. Okay. So, a little more detail here. On one occasion, when she was about 27, she called a doctor in, MD type doctor, and she said to him, I have to go on a spiritual journey, and I want you to guard my body while I'm gone. And she left. He was just supposed to take care of the body while she was gone. Her body lost all vital signs. It was dead for 11 days. She said, I'll be gone 11 days, guard the body. It will appear to be dead. He could find no vital signs for 11 days. 11 days later, she's back. Just fine, no recovery required. Documented. Yeah. Not dealing with a normal person. Just in terms of some things she did before we get to her philosophy, she lived in a very poor region, even though her family was rather well off. She started a food kitchen. There are a lot of poor people. She started a food kitchen. And somehow or another, there was always enough food for the number of people who showed up. And she never knew how many would show up, but however many showed up, there'd always be enough food for that many people. And on several occasions where more showed up than there was food for, the food appeared. The extra food appeared. And this is good to stretch our imaginations because reality isn't what we think it is. So she set up food kitchens. This was totally free, no charge to anybody. And a few years later, she set up accommodations for people who had nowhere to live. She made that possible. That too was free. In the course of her life, she set up 3 schools, again free for poor people, one of which taught Sanskrit. Because she wanted to bring back, she was afraid India was becoming too westernized and losing its traditions. And most of their ancient texts are in Sanskrit. So she started a school of Sanskrit. And the people who gathered around her could be heard fluently conversing with one another in Sanskrit. So she was bringing back this old tradition. As I said, she didn't have any pupils or disciples, but she didn't have a community. And everyone was equal. And the spirit of it was a spirit of loving equality. And the descriptions you can read of it are incredible. It's like if you just walked into it, I don't know how, you walked in, it's an ongoing thing. You're just as much a part of it the day you walk in as the person who's been there 15 years. There's no old-timer, newcomer thing happening. There's absolute equality. There are no duties. You don't have to do anything. But you end up doing things. Just automatic. You just join in. And she formed this community, she said. And apparently it was amazing to watch because the absolute equality permeated with loving kindness. No hierarchy whatsoever, including herself. And she said, I'm forming this community as a model for communities of the future. Yeah, showing it's possible to do this kind of thing. Okay. I think those are kind of the high points.